All right, George, now just be normal, all right? Okay?
I'm ready.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted by the producer of the show, Jasmine, Jazzy, Minnie Cooper, Ethel. Although, I must say, last week, I was surfing the internet, and it wasn't until about noon. Jazzy, I hate to tell you that.
You also said before noon.
Okay, but you were all, you know, when you first started and you were all excited and you were all, you know, trying to make a good impression, it used to be up at 7:30.
Okay, so I take the train now.
Okay, all right.
It's pushing it.
That's no, I'm just joking.
I can try 3:30 no, a.m. next time.
Just joking. Anyway, welcome to episode, let me see what it says here, 90. 90 times I've done this, and they're still allowing me to come back. I don't know when that's going to stop, but until they say don't come back, I will be here every week here at WGNplus.com. Thank you for doing whatever it is that you do to find us, clicking, surfing, streaming, whatever it is. I appreciate you clicking on and downloading. And don't forget, the previous, at this point, 89 episodes are also at WGNplus.com on my landing page. You go to WGNplus.com, you go to the entertainment section, and then you will see a prompt for Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and click on, and you can go nuts. As I said, I consider myself, after 89 episodes, I consider myself binge-worthy. So by all means, go crazy. And it also helps, if you're a regular listener, to go back into those archives, because frequently I will refer to a previous topic or a previous podcast, because hopefully the idea of this is it's an ongoing dialogue. Sure, every show is unto itself, but we do this every week, and hopefully the idea is to create a nice dialogue between you and me on a regular basis. And so something that I may have talked about 3 or 4 months ago, just like in life, comes back into your life again. And you say, hey, remember that? Well, if you didn't listen the first time, how are you going to remember it? So you have homework. There's 89 episodes you need to listen to so you can be up to date. Because today, in fact, I am going to reach back and talk about a topic that I spoke about probably 3 or 4 months ago. And it was, as you know, if you listen with any regularity, I've got a flip phone. And I am proud of it. And while I actually used to work in the technology industry, and maybe that's why in many ways I'm so anti jumping into the future, because I've seen all the BS that goes on behind the scenes. So I was as I was watching, reading a lot of stuff and watching, especially, you know, at the Emmy Awards, I think that was the impetus for this. This year's Emmys, and even the year before's, most of the nominations for most of the shows, whether it was in the actor and actress categories, or especially best dramas, best comedies, the majority of them were all from streaming services. There was maybe like one network show. And so I've been reading over the last couple of years about Netflix with, you know, Stranger Things. And I myself, I have a friend that had Netflix, and I was watching House of Cards at his house. I would literally go to his house at 9 in the morning and stay there until 11 o'clock at night and watch the whole season. Because, I mean, what am I going to do? I can't binge at home. So that was enough, because at that time it was like, well, that was the only show on Netflix. But now, I mean, my gosh, Netflix is throwing money around like it's like it's Monopoly money. And so there are some major shows that are critically acclaimed as well as popular. And I've really felt like, geez, I'm getting out of the loop here. And then when the Emmy Awards came out this past season, I was looking around and I'm like, I haven't seen any of these shows because I don't have any streaming services. And I think the tip of the iceberg was this past fall network season. I did not record on my DVR any new shows. There wasn't one new show on network television or cable, new show, that I was interested in DVRing. There were the ones that I had on my list before, like Game of Thrones and Baskets and some of these other things. I like The Blacklist, which is a network show. But, I mean, a lot of the shows were on cable as well. And so I do have a satellite dish. I'm not that much of a Luddite. But most I only have at this point, I'm shocked, in my list of shows to record on a daily, weekly basis, at this point, I have 10 shows, which is ridiculous because I'm a TV junkie. So for me to only have 10 shows was really sending me a message that, I'm sorry, but network and even cable, they're not cutting it anymore. Because I would try some shows and they just weren't grabbing my attention. So I was toying with, and I was, if you remember in this former podcast, I was talking about, do I at least dip my toe into the stream? But then my question was, geez, if I get one streaming service like Netflix, well, then how do I not get Amazon Prime? And then how do I not get Hulu? And then how many $19.99s or $20 or $10.99s or $9.99s am I going to get? When I already get, I already have satellite, which is not that cheap, with your local stations and all your HD TV stations. So I'm like, well, geez, how much am I going to pay for this? So, and then I said, well, my TV set is from 2007, so it's not even a smart set. So I have to go buy a new TV. So I'm like, but I'll tell you, this fall, the last 3 months, when there were no new shows that were grabbing my interest. And then I'm reading about all this stuff on Netflix. Oh, you got to see the Dave Chappelle comedy special. And you got to see the new season of Stranger Things. And you got to see Black is the New Orange, or Orange is the New Black, or Blue is the New Red, whatever the hell that show is. You got to see that. And then there was a new season of House of Cards. I didn't even go to my friend's house this year. So I didn't even see season 5. I don't know what's going on. I didn't even know that Kevin Spacey was still president. And now he's not even on the show anymore. So I was in my back of my mind, I'm like, I'm going to have to take the plunge, literally and figuratively, into the stream and get into this. So I was starting to see, well, do I have to get a new TV set yet? As luck would have it, a couple of weeks after Christmas, I go to a friend's house, and he is Mr. Technology. He has every gadget in the world. So I have none. He has everyone. He does as much useless things with all these gadgets as I don't do anything with gadgets. So I have my friend here today, George Bliss, who is actually a very, you're one of the most well-known unknown people in the Chicago media world. Because you seem to know everybody, you're a politician more than anything else.
Yes,
there's
I am.
No doubt that you've been a salesman for 30 some years. Because George is the type of guy that says hi to everyone he sees.
Mm-hmm.
George knows everyone. Whenever you say George, oh, I know George, or like even today, we're just sitting here in the lobby today, and three people that work at WGN walked by. And they never even met George, but he emails them or follows them. Everybody knows George.
I'm a mocker.
A mocker. Not a mocker.
Oh, see.
That's a person who mocks.
Oh.
A mocker. A mocker is a Yiddish word.
That's a good thing, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Being a mocker is not bad. Yeah, like you're, well, I don't know how powerful you are, though.
Oh.
You think you are. But George has actually become a good friend. He's been, in fact, I was trying to think, how long
Have we known each other for 10 years?
Almost, yeah. We met at the Gary Myers show.
Initially, though?
Yeah, maybe.
At the CKG
that.
Years or yeah, in the GN years?
Right around there. CKG, then GN, of course.
Yeah, so then that was 2007.
Wow.
So we've known each other for almost 11 years.
Oh,
probably.
My goodness.
Yeah.
I'm submerging you today.
So, George, yeah. George is always, so like I said, he's, in fact, he just gave me his little bio here, which I think is hilarious. He achieved his ham radio license at age 12.
Hey, that was hard to do.
Oh, no, I just think it's funny. You're very technical. He knows mm-hmm. all the names of the different chords.
Yes.
You need a 785.
Right.
HMI 2.
Yeah.
What is that? HMI?
HDMI.
HDMI.
1 and 2. Yeah.
1 and 2. And you need a 1748 and everything. All I know is RCA female and RCA male. But, so George is really a technical genius. He's actually designed radio stations. So this is not just a joke. He really does know his stuff. I kind of make fun of it because I'm not interested in that technical side of it, and he loves it. And so we will be talking about certain things, and then he'll start to dig very deep, and then I just have a glassy look, and it goes right over my head. But so tell me the story. I came to your house around Christmas time.
Yeah,
and you showed me what?
The new thing that a guy, you heard of Jeff Bezos, right?
Well, yeah, of course.
Wealthiest man in the world,
yeah.
Amazon.
Okay.
He's going to buy the world.
Yes, we
well,
know
he
that.
Invented a product called the Amazon Fire Stick.
Yeah, that's been around for a while, right?
It has.
Okay. But now, why did you just get one now then?
You know, I wanted to wait for programming to catch up.
Oh, at the beginning there wasn't a lot of content?
Not much.
Okay.
But now it's amazing. So just to explain, it's a device that's on the internet.
It's like a USB.
It is. It's a USB device.
You plug it into your computer or your TV.
Into your TV, into your HDMI port, and it picks up the internet. And by the way, you just improved your internet.
Well, I'm going to get to that.
Yeah.
I just want to say, so I went to your house,
and
you said, and you already have. I mean, he's, like I said, he's got every gadget, every newest thing that comes out.
Right.
You've, like, you have a in terms of the speed in your house?
I have 1 gigabyte.
Size. 1 gigabyte. So what does that equal?
Times more than the norm.
So who would have a gigabyte? Like, would a company?
Well, radio stations, for one thing.
Like a radio. Yeah. So in your house.
Yeah, I can take
you
those.
Have as much bandwidth.
Bandwidth, good.
As I told you, I know the... I know the technology.
Well, I've taped shows at my house.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, he's got all this stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. you walk into his house and it's humming.
Yeah.
I thought you had hummingbirds.
but
it's all of your stuff.
Right.
Just humming and he's got fans everywhere because he's got to keep the place cool. Because there's all these machines running.
Oh boy.
You're like your house is like the cloud.
Yeah.
You just have racks.
I know.
Of humming. Machines.
I'll explain the cloud next time.
Yeah.
What that is.
So, once again, I know what the cloud is. So George sits me down, and I am completely not interested in this when he shows me this. Mm-hmm. And he says, you got to see, at Christmas time, I got the Amazon Fire Stick.
Correct.
And watch this. And he goes, and he clicks on, mm-hmm. and all of these stations and these apps, and then the remote even has Alexa built in.
It does. Yeah.
I used to make fun of Alexa. A friend of mine had Alexa 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? Just turn the lights off yourself. What are you worried about with Alexa? Alexa, you know, turn off the alarm. Get up and turn off the alarm yourself. You don't need Alexa to do it for you. But that remote has Alexa in it.
It does.
Yeah. So I'm sitting at George's house, and he plugs this thing in. And I don't know if you noticed. Did you notice when I was watching this that I was interested, or was I trying to,
Well, other than the Elton John glasses that you wear and the briefcases that you carry into my house, you were interested.
But
something other than.
But did you think that I would, like, when I left your house, did you think that, oh, here's another failed attempt to get me into the 21st century?
No, I saw you. You were had.
Oh, really?
Oh, I can watch an old concert. Oh.
Oh, so I gave it away, huh?
Yes, you did.
Yeah. So this is the first time that George has ever influenced me in any way, shape, or form. No, I'm just joking. But he always tries to show me the newest technology, and I'm always like, George, not interested. George, not interested. George, not interested. But man, I got to tell you, you plugged in that Fire Stick, the Amazon Fire Stick, and then the best part was, it was only like $40.
Roughly, yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. So I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. You know, this might be the entree. And once again, please, folks, there's no endorsements here from Amazon. This is purely, I'm just relating my personal situation. So if you want to get something else or don't want to get, I don't care.
There are many other options.
Yeah, I'm just telling you. Right. Is that for $40, I'm like, well, wait a minute. Instead of going out and buying a $600 new smart set.
Great.
I can sort of circumvent that at the beginning with this little $40 stick and see how I like it.
Right.
Because at the very least, what's nice about this stick too is if I got a new TV, my current TV to another room, I just leave the stick there. And then my new TV would be a smart TV because most are now. So I would have all my streaming stuff on the new TV, but I could still have the streaming on my old TV in another part of the house.
How about when you travel to Europe or New York and plug it into your hotel television?
Right.
How about that?
You can do
that's
that.
That's the big thing.
Yeah. So now if I do that, do I need a password?
No. It's all set up when you originally turn on the unit.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I go to George's and we were just spending kind of the afternoon talking, and he plugs this thing in and he's talking to Alexa and he's like, put on this. And the shows are just, and like I said, he's got this ridiculous internet speed. So, I mean, everything's just flashing and boom, boom, boom. And so I'm looking at this and I go, this could be, because I was already saying to myself, I think I need to at least get Netflix at the very least. Because as I said, I was feeling very out of touch with most of the TV shows now.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the well-known, actors and actresses and even the directors and producers are all going to these streaming services because network television is really not, producing that kind of content like these other places are. So my question is, you already have like a cable.
Yes.
So why would you get the Fire Stick? Isn't there redundancy there with the program you already have?
Great question. I still want to watch our great local station WGN and 257 and 9. They are not on the Fire Stick because they are local stations.
Right.
So there's going to be a while, Jim, before those things integrate. But, you were talking about Alexa. You know what's the great thing? I tested it. Alexa, play WGN Plus. Bang. Up on the screen comes the browser, WGN Plus, and then you step to Captain Podtasket or whatever.
Podtastic.
Yeah, Podtasket. Is it Podtastic?
Oh, Podtastic.
Yeah,
that's not casket.
Oh.
I know the show sounds dead at times, but it is not a podcasket.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, thank
you, that's amazing, isn't it? That you could go right to your...
Oh, I never thought of that.
Yes.
So if I'm at home, I can just go Alexa, WGNplus.com.
Yep.
And then I can say...
Yeah, go to...
Yeah, I could go to my landing page.
Right, and then from there, step through.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's going to get better, Jim, by the minute. And it's like, for instance, next year, a streaming service would be Facebook. Technically, that's a streaming service. You know how much money they have. Next year, Major League Baseball on Thursday night is only going to be on Facebook. Did you know that?
No.
That's right.
So I did not know that.
So if you have your laptop computer, you're still cool. But if you have your device,
So in other words, with my stick, because I haven't even tried this, because I don't usually take a tablet. Does a tablet have a USB?
It does.
Yeah. So in other words, if I went on a plane, I could take my Amazon stick.
Well, you have to have an internet available.
Well, isn't there Wi-Fi on the?
There is
on a plane.
That's right.
So so in theory, I could take a tablet,
absolutely,
or a laptop with my stick
and watch Amazon.
And plug it in and watch shows on there.
Exactly.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Look at this.
That's why the big airlines have to keep up with this because they lose. You go to Europe 8 hours, you better have something to do.
So I leave George's house and I'm kind of psyched, and I tell George, you know what, You may have been the impetus here for me to take the plunge.
Beautiful.
So sure enough, I went online. It was either that day or the next day. And sure enough, just like you said, I went online, Amazon's Fire Stick.
Bang.
$39.95. Mm-hmm. It came in 4 days.
Wow.
But now here was the bad part. And this is another thing that I was a little worried about. Now, and George, like I said, so now George has all this, these modems and all these racks of stuff.
Oh, modem.
And I've got a modem and a, like, the DSL technology, which at one time
it was pretty cool.
Was fast.
Yeah.
But that was when Clinton was president.
Oh.
So when I plug in my stick,
yes,
I go on and right away, the setup was so simple. Yeah. It was scary.
It's automatic, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you just had to know your network, internet network password.
The password key. Of what you call your yeah. Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I plug that in and boom, all the programming, just like at your house, it came on. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, this is the coolest thing. So right away, I'm Alexa-ing, and I'm scrolling with my new little thing, home, TV shows, scrolling. I'm adding on my lists.
Right.
You know, and all the little pictures of all the shows are there. And I'm in a new world right now. So I'm all excited. Except within the first 20 minutes, every so often, my internet's falling off. Say it's not connected. Now, what was going on there?
I knew. As soon as I called you, you know, I saw squirrels coming out.
You mean
the telephone?
You mean the squirrels that run on the little maze,
and the
little
dish,
things?
That's the 1948 RCA satellite dish that has one. Yeah.
So that was my thing. Is I was like, you know, I don't really have all those megabytes like you do to run all that stuff. And so sure enough, the first couple of weeks that I had it, it was good, but I would always have to reboot my modem.
That's called getting clogged.
Yeah, because in other words, I just did not have enough bandwidth.
Jim, it's just like an expressway. You have a two-lane, a four-lane.
It's an internet super high race.
Yeah, you had a back road. You had a gravel road.
I had a dirt road. I didn't even have a back road. Yeah, at least a back road is paved.
With construction on it.
Yeah, mine was a trail.
Oh, my God.
Mine wasn't even a road. Mine was just foot traffic.
But you literally jumped to the 21st century in one day.
Oh,
you're way
yeah.
And you're good for, I'm going to say, 2 to 5 years.
Well, wait. So wait. So now I'm kind of. So then, even to add insult to injury, because you know I've been because my wife's been kind of on my back. You know, we should get this. We should get that. Plus, my wife works from home a lot, so she needs internet access. You know, she needs good, reliable internet access.
Mm-hmm.
So, apparently, you know, if she's on the computer like upstairs at work doing work, and I'm over there with my Alexa,
yes,
trying to watch something,
mm-hmm.
it's knocking the network off.
2 days ago, that was doing that. But
so she's like, "Oh yeah." So she comes down, she goes, "I almost what's going on? I might have lost all this work.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, even in the midst of a thing, I fell off the internet." So now I'm like, you know what? I'm going to have to take another plunge. If one plunge wasn't enough to jump into the stream, because then here's the best part. So right away, the first minute I plugged it in, I ordered Netflix for $10.99.
Which is very inexpensive.
And Amazon Prime.
Oh, beautiful. So free shipping.
Yeah, so now I get that too, but I get all the programming.
Yeah, so anything you order on Amazon
now,
like on the computer,
right.
Let me explain,
right.
Shows as a receipt on your TV now. Did you know that?
Oh, is that what happened?
So like a couple years ago, my wife and I love all these. She loves ballet, so she downloaded The Turning Point, the ballet
right.
movie.
Yeah.
And we watched it on our computer at the time.
Right.
All of a sudden, when we put the Fire Stick, it says your movies, they put it on your TV because you own it. You're the customer.
Right.
So now the movies you download in L.A. or you're on vacation
right.
on the computer, you can just go. You can watch it there. It goes to your home TV.
And where does it sit there then?
It sits on their server. It's called VOD.
But where would I find it?
It'll see, there's a caption on the top that says movies.
Yeah.
And you hit it.
And it'll just be in there then.
It lists all your movies that you purchased.
Oh, it'll say like you the ones. Because like an iPod usually has that too, like your purchases.
That's exactly the same concept.
Oh, all right. Exactly. So that automatically comes on there.
Right. So I've got 4 or 5 movies that I purchased, you know.
Yeah.
And your classics, you know, your LA movies.
So then So now I sit there and I call. So I call up George. Now I was all excited. I called George and said, I got the stick.
Yeah.
And so he's all excited. But then I call him back like a week later and I'm like, you know, my internet keeps falling off.
Right.
So I said, why do you think? And so.
I asked a few questions.
So what did you ask?
I thought you were making it up. You go, let me check. Let me have a speed test. It says two. Two what? 200. Two megabits.
So, like, what is 2 megabits equated to?
Well, 1934, Roosevelt had 2 megabits at the White House when he said telegraph.
Because even with our, even just on our internet at home, before I had the stick.
In general, yeah.
I mean, we would have to wait a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like I said, because I never really upgraded. When we first got the DSL, it was the thing of the moment because
email,
before
yes.
that
free email yes.
yeah because yeah. Before that, don't forget, we were working just on, yeah. on telephone lines,
yeah.
So the DSL was a big step up, but I hadn't upgraded in years.
Mm-hmm.
So George is like, oh my God,
I thought you were joking, because you're pretty, you know, yeah. a little bit.
So I'm like, no. So then I go, what, you know, what am I going to do? So he goes, you got to get, so I had like 2
Yeah.
megabits. You said for Netflix I need at least 20.
Correct.
Oh, so that's why it was, because, so that's why it was knocking off, yeah, all because, my internet was disconnecting, because there was just too much content on that stick, right?
Because Netflix is interesting. When you first download the movie, you see 10, 9.
Yeah,
called,
yeah, yeah.
That's called TSR, terminate and stay resident. Yeah. It takes the movie, temporarily moves it from
right.
over there in New York to yeah. your stick. It's an amazing technology.
Yeah, but you know what's so funny now that I so.
But if it's slow, you're gonna have.
Well, then all of a sudden, because then like the little down, like the little circle.
Yeah, it's called the hourglass.
The little hourglass would right. go, and then it would say 50%, 30%, 20%. You know,
it should take seconds.
Yeah,
minutes.
I know. Right. Mine would take
minutes,
10 minutes. and then yeah. once it downloaded, then it would, and all of a sudden it would say up, home connection unavailable. It would drop it off.
Yeah, it dropped.
So I called George. I said, so now what do I do? So George goes, well, you have to upgrade your thing. So I call up my internet service provider, my ISP, if you will.
Very good.
And so the guy on the phone was just like you.
He's, what year did you put that
yeah.
in, sir?
So he goes, let me see how many megabits you got.
He did what they call a ping,
yeah.
and he got knocked off
he
the
goes,
pong.
You have 2 megabits. And I said, well, you know, I can't watch Netflix. He goes, I don't know how you can watch anything. So this guy, he goes, well, I'm going to give you 100 megabits.
Yeah. How much is it going to cost?
Yeah, I'm like, wait. He goes, what? It's going to cost the
nothing.
Same.
Yeah.
The right. same as my 2.
Well, that's the beauty of the new service.
That's unbelievable, because yeah. I guess in my area, too, I have fiber optics.
Oh.
So he's like, I'm giving you 100 megabits.
Do you know what fiber optics is in a nutshell?
Yeah, it's like glass.
It's a glass tube that turns a light on and off at billions right. of times a second
right.
instead of copper, which could break it.
Right.
Or yeah. Very good.
I told you. I worked in the technology industry.
But, I mean,
industry.
Fiber is kind of yeah. the cool thing now. Yeah.
So... luckily, my neighborhood has the fiber optic network. So he goes
in the ground.
Yeah, he goes. So you got we can hook you up to fiber. He goes, I'm going to give you 100. He goes, you're not even going to believe what's going to happen. What
wow.
you're going to be able to do. So and then he even was able to give me a break, because I guess my phone is on fiber optic.
Sure,
now.
It is. Yeah,
my telephone monthly bill $40 less.
Yeah, because the central office charges are now gone.
And plus now right. the signal is all clear.
And it's going to be clear. It's digital.
Yeah, there's yeah. no you right. know crackling.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted to sell me the
a little bit more.
The bundle. He wanted to bundle in my television too. But I'm like, you know what? I've had my Dish network, and I'm happy with my Dish network.
Yeah,
so.
We're gonna have to talk about that going forward.
All right. But anyway, yeah. So now I set that all up. All right. So now I'm excited. In 3 days, the guy's gonna come, and my stick is gonna finally work up to its potential, as opposed to always falling. You know, the internet connection always breaking. So now the guy comes over the other day, the installer.
You're already laughing. I can see his face.
He walks in and he looks at my modem. And
yeah.
he goes, I didn't know they made those anymore.
Modem.
He goes, where did you get that?
Yeah.
I said, I bought it at the AT&T store. He goes,
when? What's modem? Modulator, demodulator. Yeah.
So he goes, I'm going to set you up. He goes, I'm going to rewire this. We're going to take out all your stuff. I'm going to hook you up to the box. I have to go down the street where the main box is, right. Send the signal. Then we have to send another line from your house to the line.
Very good.
And then we're going to get put a new box in.
It's called the home run box.
And go into your thing. And we're going to get rid. He goes, get rid of that. Just throw it out.
The Smithsonian, is, I will call them.
Yeah. He said, just throw it out. There's no use for that. Yeah. So it took him about 2.5-3 hours because he had to do a whole. Oh, yeah. He had to go and, you know, he had to put the whole line up. He had to go outside and, you know. Mm-hmm. So now he's connecting this thing. And he goes, here. So he goes, you used to have 2 megabits? So he shows me this on his phone.
The meter.
Yeah. And he goes, look what you got now. 125 up and down.
Oh, my goodness. You could do your radio show from your home.
So just, now.
Just bring Jasmine over there, but do it.
When I turn on that TV, there's not.
Pow.
Poof. My computer is.
Bang.
It's hovering.
Yeah.
There's so much. My house. In fact, once I got my 125 megabits, when the guy left, I noticed my house was so wired and with so much speed, I was moving around in the house faster.
Plus, the signal is better for the yard. You can cut,
yeah, but yeah. My point is, even around the house,
absolutely.
My hair was standing up.
Yes, yes.
And I was just moving faster because now I felt all these megabits in my house. Just bouncing off the wall.
The electrons bouncing off the wall. It's a factual statement.
I was energized. It's better than St. John's wort. So now I've got 120. It was like a B12 shot in my computer.
Mm-hmm.
So now my wife tried it the other day. She worked home from work. Oh, zip, zip.
She loves it.
I'm over there Alexa-ing, and I'm adding shows. I'm downloading. Zip, zip, zip.
Uh-huh.
Unbelievable.
Did you put your printers on that network, Jimmy?
Well, I don't have a printer. I mean, let's not get crazy.
You take a picture of the screen.
Let's not go crazy.
By the way, you don't even have an iPhone yet, do you?
I have a flip phone.
Oh, that's great. We'll get you past
my wife has one. But she had to, you know, she always had problems in our house too. Even with her
no
iPhone.
More.
Now,
no
more. Holy smokes. What a difference. So I got to tell you, George, I was very hesitant, and I was very skeptical about all this crap.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks to you, you dragged me. To quote Michael Corleone, as soon as I thought I was out, George, you dragged me back in. I thought I was going to be off the grid. I don't need that. Social media, social media, who cares?
Yeah.
Fire Stick, streaming, bah! Not for me. And like you said, literally in a minute, I went from being Amish to being Steve Jobs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, you just touched on some of the capabilities of it. For instance, I know you travel a lot and you take some beautiful pictures. There's a new service now. You upload all the pictures that you take on a website, and then you go home and all the pictures are on the Fire Stick. There's a new service.
Really?
Yeah. You download it. It's free of charge. They have Spotify in there now as well.
Yeah, Spotify was on there.
So you could listen to music wherever you want, tape it and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah. I am not just in the stream. I am floating. I am swimming. I am backstroking.
You're jet skiing.
I'm Marco Poloing in the stream right
absolutely.
Now. I got floaties on my arms. I'm just floating in the stream. I'm immersed.
I know.
In the stream.
And now, this morning, I did some research. They have a new network on there. Called Kodi, KODI. Guess what it is? Mm. English soccer. So you could watch
Arsenal.
Yes, and
Manchester.
And you know how Elton loves
and Real Madrid.
You know how he loves his soccer.
Yeah, I know. Well, doesn't matter to me.
But I mean, he can watch it now on his Fire Stick.
I don't think he has
LA.
To worry about that. So I got to say, George, for years I used to laugh at you, make fun of you. I would say I don't need that.
We mock what we don't understand.
We don't understand, and I certainly still don't really understand you. But I must say, I am not, when I am wrong, the few times that that happens, I fully admit it, and I say to you, thank you, George. If you had not shown me that Amazon Fire Stick, I would still be in the dark ages. I would still be, you know, with two sticks, yeah, rubbing them to make fire.
Wow.
Now, I'm propane.
And just think where it's going to go the next 4 years.
Yeah, well, believe me, I won't have, I mean, I'm not going to move from this until another 25 years. Well. So.
Oh my.
But so I just wanted to say thank you to George Bliss, because you, you know, and I got to say, what I love about George is that you are so passionate in what you like, and you're so into it,
mm-hmm,
and it can be infectious. And so I have to say thank you once again. And we wish you say that George, not only is he a technical geek, but you are very active in the Chicago area with the 16-inch Softball Hall of Fame.
You know, I started just like every other kid. We got this beautiful building out in Forest Park. So one of these days we'll talk about that in detail. But it's at 7500 West on Harrison, and we're there every Saturday. And I've wired the whole thing.
He's got his 16-inch softball T-shirt on right now.
And guess what? We have 10 televisions there, all on fire sticks.
Do you really?
So when the guys come on Saturday, they can watch Loyola,
right,
basketball,
uh-huh,
not here, when they're out of town in Wichita,
oh,
or we can watch Kansas, or we could go on and on.
So you're all fire sticked over there,
yeah,
too.
Out of district things you can watch now, because the days of local TV kind of numbered the days.
Oh, yeah. Frankly, well, like I said, that's what motivated me to sort of get involved in this, because it was really a combination of the Emmy Awards and all these, you know, and then I just this past TV season in the fall, from September to December.
Yeah, the Oscars were streamed.
No, but I'm just talking,
yeah,
about the shows that
the
were
thing, yeah,
that were nominated.
Amazing.
They were all stream services shows.
That's
there was
correct.
Hardly any network shows.
That's correct.
And this past season, nothing really caught my attention. I said, you know what? I have to. As much as I hate to push myself into the future, I'm going to have to do it. So, George Bliss.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting me.
For turning me on. And firing me up with the Amazon Fire Stick.
You got it.
And welcome back to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, not Podcasket, as George said earlier. And we go to the Pop Culture Club with Emily Arminetti. How you doing, Emily?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. So have you heard the news?
Are you gunning it down the information superhighway?
I've got pedal to the metal. I'm flooring it. I am backstroking in the stream now. I am breaststroking. I'm Marco Polo. I got floaties on my arms.
Well, what exactly did you have installed?
I bought a Amazon Fire Stick, which is like a USB.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, so, look at me.
You're ahead of me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, basically, it's like what it does, very quickly, it's like a USB, like a flash drive, and it basically makes your set like a smart TV. Remember I was talking a few months ago about getting a smart TV? And
oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So instead of having to go and buy a new TV and figuring out what I should do, this costs $40. You plug it in into one of the outputs, inputs into one of your, in the back of your set, and it mm-hmm. has Netflix. I have Netflix and Amazon Prime.
What?
Yes.
Wow. This is like a huge day.
I already watched all the episodes of Ricky Gervais's Derek.
Wow.
On Netflix.
You might never leave the house again, I think.
Binging.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, and then because I only had 2 megabits of power in my house, I am now on the fiber optic network.
Whoa.
I have 120. I have 125 megabits.
Are you going to download some apps?
Oh, I already did.
Wow.
I'm downloading apps.
Life-changing.
I'm even, like I said, once I got my 125 megabits, I'm even noticing I'm walking in the house faster. Everything in my house is faster now.
You are faster.
Everything's faster. My hair is standing up. I'm moving. I could feel the megabits just bouncing off me.
This is big news. I was not ready for this. You gave me no warning about
I know. I remember I just sort of, well, because I'll tell you, and the reason why was because over the last, this was, I think one of the worst network TV seasons in history. There were no shows that caught my, I did not add to my DVR one new TV show this whole season.
Really?
Yeah, there were no new shows.
You didn't watch the new, well, this is not new, but the reboot of Will and Grace have actually.
No, I don't consider that. No, I don't consider that new. I mean a new show.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't consider that new.
Okay.
I just mean a new show.
So now you can, so now you can watch all the Netflix original programming.
Right.
You can watch the Amazon has some original programming.
Yeah, I don't.
So now you're going to be.
Oh. I don't
You'll be watching Stranger Things.
Right.
You can watch Black Mirror. I think you'd probably like Black Mirror.
You know what? I put that.
It's kind of like the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, I put that on my watch list, but I haven't watched it yet.
Mm-hmm.
See, I have a watch list.
The Crown. I just started watching The Crown, believe it or not. I don't know. Everything takes me so long, but this is like right up my alley, and that's very good, too.
Yeah, we watched, in fact, that was the first thing we watched. I've watched the first two episodes, and I'm already hooked. I like it.
Yes.
So I'm in.
Very good. Congratulations. I feel like you're officially, you've joined us in the 21st century.
Now, I still have my flip phone. I'm not giving that up.
You've time traveled. That's how huge this is.
I'm like Marty McFly. I'm Marty McFly.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
You just came forward like 20 years in like, overnight.
Oh, I said I went from being Amish to being Steve Jobs.
Yeah. Okay, let's not go that far. I don't think you're exactly Steve Jobs. But you have potential.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's amazing. Like I said, because, then my house had so little megabytes that it couldn't handle the Netflix. So I had to go and upgrade that. Because it was always disconnecting because there wasn't enough bandwidth. I had 2 megabits in my house.
Only 2?
I had 2 megabits, and the guy goes, 2? When he came over to my house, he told me to throw my modem away. He goes, don't even, just get rid of it. There's no need for it. But anyway.
No need for that in the modern world, no.
So here's,
great.
So on the, what we want to do on the Pop Culture Club today, in fact, what I wanted to talk about is actually programming. One of the few programs that I am DVRing right now, which just started a few weeks ago, so I thought you recommended this to actually talk about, since it's about 2 or 3 weeks in, is the new FX Ryan Murphy serialization, similar to the People versus O.J. Simpson in the killing of Gianni Versace, which is on FX. So. Right out of the box, it's been on for like 3 weeks. What are your first impressions?
Oh, well, I'm like kind of obsessed with it.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's like, I in a way that I didn't really expect to be because, I mean, once again, as with their treatment of the OJ story, because this is the American Crime Story series. It's an anthology. They're going to do more of these, and they're going to use a different topic, a different, like, based in true events topic every time. But it's interesting because, you and I were both around. We were both around when the whole OJ thing happened. We were around when Gianni Versace was murdered. And so, this is all well-covered territory at the time. And so you do think to yourself, what do we really need to see? We were there. We remember this. It was well-covered. But I think it's really interesting how they take these, true events, and 20 years later, they actually bring them and they, make them interesting again. even to people who sort of thought that they read everything about this at the time. So I think that, you know, so far it's like a really strong start. I think it's really interesting how they're treating this from a chronological perspective. You know, they've started with the day of his murder, and they're sort of retracing their steps back from there, which is a little different to the way they handled the People versus O.J. Simpson, you know, which kind of, I think it started with the murder, but then, of course, in the O.J. case, it was a very lengthy trial.
Yeah, well, it had to be
that full dramatic twist.
Yeah, that had to be more linear because because the trial was unfolding, and you couldn't go back. You know, it was one event was feeding on the next and on the next, so that had to be a little more linear. Where, and I tell you, to your point, when the first episode, like you said, within the first 15 minutes, they show him getting shot right outside of his home, like he did in South Beach in Miami, in Florida, and that was kind of jolting. And I'm very impressed. I have to say, I've never been a fan, but I'm impressed with Ricky Nelson and his Ricky Martin and his acting as Gianni Versace's boyfriend. I think he's doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. Yes, yes, he is. Yeah,
he is. But, you know, he is acting La Vida Loca.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. I think Ryan Murphy does a really good job of tapping into people who you might not even think of. I mean, and they also do a really good job of finding people who like so resemble the person that they're portraying, but like not in a way that's like you almost watch them. It's like with the with Sarah Paulson in The People versus O.J. Simpson, like by the time that was over, every time I thought of Marcia Clark, I pictured Sarah Paulson's face. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you almost forgot what Marcia Clark looked like.
The same thing. Yeah, because like Darren Criss, I think, kind of resembles Andrew Cunanan from what I remember of, you know, from the coverage. But not. I mean, he's not. You know, I don't know. It's weird. And then, you know, I think Ricky Martin is a little bit different because I don't think any of us really paid much attention to exactly what Gianni Versace's, you know, partner was like at the time. But certainly, you know, Versace himself was pretty well known. And is it Edgar Ramirez who's playing him?
Yeah.
I mean, it's haunting.
Yeah, he looks just like Versace. Yeah, even when they when they do the younger scenes, they whether it's the younger scenes or the older scenes when his hair's a little darker and then his hair is gray. He does look. Now, I don't know if I'm sold on Penelope Cruz as Donatella. She's a little too pretty for Donatella.
And this is tough too, because Penelope Cruz is Penelope Cruz, and so when you put an actor who's that famous in a role like this, where they're playing a real person, that it can just be so distracting that that's Penelope Cruz, you know. And so I mean, I agree, it is. That is a little bit striking, but I do think she's doing a fairly good job. And, you know, there's some good acting happening there. But she in and of herself is a little distracting.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I remember, that was in July of 1997 when Versace was killed. And if you remember, that was a weird summer because just, 6 weeks later, Princess Diana was killed. At the end of August, when Versace got shot, it was a jolt to me because, you know, for many years, you know, with my connection, liking Elton John, he and Gianni Versace were practically very best friends, if not best friends, and in the early 90s, Versace even designed one of Elton's album covers. He had an album called The One, which was kind of his comeback after he was here in Chicago and got sober. And that was a big hit album, as well as that single, The One, was a huge hit. And then Versace even designed his concert stage set. And then he used to wear, because when he got sober, right here in the Chicago area at the Lutheran General Hospital, he lost a lot of weight, and so then he could wear like designer clothes now, you know.
Right.
And so he was wearing Versace for you know, unfortunately, he has a weight problem. So it was only about a year and a half or 2 years. And then all of a sudden, he was starting to bust out of it again. But so he was very into the Versace stuff. And so naturally, then I sort of got into Versace stuff. And I still have two Versace pillows on my couches. And I still have all my Versace ties. That are still in.
I was going to ask you if you had. So I remember the Versace tie.
Yeah, and those are still. I mean, those are still cool. I still wear those. But so that was kind of a jolt for me. And what's so cool about this? I remember the book that this is based on, the TV show on FX, The Killing of Gianni Versace, is based on a book called Vulgar Favors, which was written by Maureen Orth, who is the wife of. Remember Tim Russert from NBC News?
Oh, yes, I do remember him. I didn't know that was his wife, though.
Yeah, that's his wife. And remember he was on Meet the Press, and he passed away about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yes, very unexpectedly,
yeah,
right?
She first wrote an article about Cunanan for Vanity Fair, and then she started to get all this information and his background and all the stuff that he was doing, and for our Chicago listeners here, I mean, there's a huge connection to Cunanan because he killed a very prominent socialite and businessman in the area, Lee Miglin, who, you know, was married and was one of these closeted gay guys that, allegedly, I would assume, that Cunanan used to pray after. And so there was a weird twist there, you know,
We should say probably that, you know, I mean, of course, that took place in the Gold Coast neighborhood of Chicago. And, you know, as you said, anyone living there in the summer of 97 would remember it well. But I think his family has always maintained that there was no relationship or link between Lee Miglin and Andrew Cunanan, and that the rumors otherwise were very painful for them. That said, that certainly was how the story was reported and sort of continues to be. And I think actually this week's episode of the assassination of Gianni Versace is actually going to deal exclusively with the murder of Lee Miglin.
Yeah.
So, and I think Judith Light is going to play his wife.
Right, Marilyn Miglin.
I was reading that Lee Miglin's son recently did an interview with Chuck Gowdy, and it sounds like, you know, the family still maintains that this was a random act, that they believe this was a random act, and that there was no link between the two of them. So,
well, that's why
it's one of those things where, and that's the thing about the series as well, is the Versace family, you know, they have not been on board with this, and they claim that, you know, that they're calling this fiction, and they're saying, you know, that a lot of things in the series were not true or did not really happen in real life. That said, Maureen Orth has always stood by her reporting of this and her sources. And, you know, as a former reporter for Vanity Fair who was covering the story, and like you said, you know, she did kind of a deep dive into the Cunanan story. I think she was working on it even before he murdered Versace.
Right, yeah.
But, and she was kind of one of the first people, even before law enforcement, to realize that Versace and Cunanan had caught, like when she heard that Versace had been murdered, she sort of had realized that they had crossed paths before this,
right?
Which his family claims never happened. But anyway, yeah, there's a lot to unpack there about, you know, how things really happened, how the press covered it, but then also what kind of the family's perspectives were on it and what is true and what's not true. So,
well, yeah, and there's, because what's also been interesting, and there's, to your point, there's been always some rumors that were denied by the Versace family, and they do make reference to it, that in the early 90s, Versace was sick. They certainly push forward the impression that he had HIV, and that was the rumor. They were denying that. They said he had cancer. Now, and they still deny that, just like you're saying about Lee Midland's family. And there were many reasons. I mean, don't forget, this is the mid-90s when, you know, being gay was not like it is today. People forget, and especially younger people, they think like things have always been rather tolerant. But things were not tolerant just 20 years ago. And and so even with someone like Versace, who was in the, you know, design, you know, in the clothing design, which is obviously populated by homosexuals, and that's not anything that there's a stigma, but they didn't want that stigma because, as they showed too, and I remember this, right before Versace was shot, they were going to take the company public.
Right.
And so
which they show, I think, in the first episode.
Yeah.
But they show it. It's in the aftermath of his death, when Donatella has now taken over business matters, and she sort of shuts that down, which is interesting because this is the thing. A lot of the stuff that you didn't or wouldn't have known about what was going on, you know, in Versace's world at that time is now kind of coming through in this series.
Yeah, but my point is, they didn't. You know, the family, and especially those involved in taking the company public with an IPO, did not want the public to know that Versace, even if he had been taking, new medications that were helping stave off the HIV virus, they didn't want news to come out that he even was HIV positive, because at the end of the day, the stock and the success of the IPO is based on Johnny Versace being alive and designing. He's the guy. He's the company. As we've seen, Versace as a brand is still around, but it certainly is not as prominent as it was when Johnny Versace was around, and Donatella is running it, and I'm sure they have a whole host of different designers, but Johnny Versace was the inspiration. He was the guy, and so they didn't want, even if Versace wasn't killed, they didn't want even the rumors from several years before that he may be HIV positive and taking the new cocktails at that time that were helping to let HIV people, you know, live productive lives, which are still going on today. So that is still kind of a thing that the Versace family does not want to admit. But to your point, like you just said, I just read a story that Maureen Orth says that she had a medical examiner on the record saying that when they did an autopsy, they found that he was HIV positive. So. Mm-hmm.
And certainly it is. It is definitely, I would say, implied in the series. Although, it's hard to notice. It's very, like, subtle. But they never do actually say HIV or AIDS.
No.
But that does seem to be very much the implication, at least in the first two episodes.
Yeah.
The first episode, in the opening scene, where they're showing him sort of taking prescription medication as part of his daily routine. And then in the second episode, of course, when they show him going to see a doctor with his partner,
right,
and there's a discussion there, or they never actually really say, but that certainly is the implication.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the other thing is that, you know, I think it's sort of, there are some undertones of this so far in the series, even though we are kind of early on, and like I said, they're kind of walking back through, you know, retracing the steps of this murder spree, starting with the last murder, which was Johnny Versace. But, you know, as far as what was happening socially at that time, and if you're kind of paying attention to some of the series recaps that are online and in podcasts, there's definitely some interesting analysis out there about the role that homophobia played in preventing law enforcement from finding Cunanan after his murder spree began. Because let's not forget, this was like a cross-country murder spree. He, you know, I think he killed like four people before he killed Versace. And, you know, this spanned many states. I mean, it started in California, and then he traveled through the Midwest and had some victims in Minnesota, and of course, New Midland and Chicago, and then on to New Jersey, and then ultimately he kills Versace in Miami. So, you know, I think already in the second episode, they're starting to show how, you know, maybe like certain members of law enforcement weren't necessarily making this a priority at the time. I think I've read that also there was a very early theory that, you know, oh, this guy's on this spree targeting ex-lovers or people who may have given him AIDS, even though an autopsy apparently showed Cunanan was HIV negative, and so that, you know, would completely negate that theory altogether.
Yeah, there's, like I said, what's interesting, if you're in your early 20s, you really can't even grasp how fast, in the last 5 to 10 years, how our culture has shifted toward a more tolerant, overall perspective on homosexuality. I mean, if you remember, Barack Obama, when he ran for president, could not even at that time say that he favored gay marriage. And if you remember, it was actually Joe Biden who got Barack out of the closet, if you will, because he came out earlier and said we favor gay marriage before Barack Obama did.
Yeah.
And so, but my point is that's in the last 8 years that we've got, you know, that. And so look how fast, even 8 years ago, you couldn't, a presidential candidate could not even say, I'm for gay marriage. And think about, I mean, now on television, it's almost, it's not even it's not even close to a taboo to show either a gay couple, whether it's two men or two women, kissing. Remember the furor several years ago when Ellen kissed Laura Dern?
Oh, yes.
I mean, that was like the walls of Babylon are coming down. And now,
right.
And now, I mean, you watch The Simpsons and cartoon characters are kissing. I mean, it's no big deal anymore. I mean, in this show, certainly, I mean, I know it's on cable, but you know, certainly network shows are showing homosexual relationships and kissing and affection. And, you know, once again, 20 years ago, that was a huge, huge kind of societal taboo that was beginning to change. But in the last 5 or 10 years, things have changed so quickly and so far that if you're in your early 20s and you were 5 or 10 at the time, you don't remember that. So you just think, well, that's the way times have always been. And no, it's been relatively soon that kind of thing happened. So it is important, I think, if you watch this show, like you're saying, to remember that context of where this story is taking place and how it's unfolding, because there certainly were biases. I think, like you were saying, remember how they showed a one scene where they didn't even pass out the FBI yes. wanted posters?
They didn't post the flyers. They didn't really listen to the local law enforcement when they were trying to figure out where would be the best places
right.
to kind of look for Andrew Cunanan. They sort of went with what they had heard would be maybe some of the hot spots for gay men in the area. But the local law enforcement seemed to be saying, where you really want to be going would be these spots, and this is what. And so it seemed like they just were sort of tuning out a little bit to what the real culture was, particularly there in Miami. And then there was also this scene, which now we've seen her twice or a couple times on the show. So the actress from Raging Bull, help me out.
Oh, yeah.
Kathy Moriarty.
Kathy Moriarty.
Did you
right.
even recognize her?
I know.
She played the pawn shop.
I know. I was like, my gosh, I mean, she was so gorgeous in Raging Bull.
I know.
It's hard to even. Yeah.
It was hard to recognize her. But so she plays this, you know, I mean, it seems like something that should be a very minor role, almost like an extra with a couple of lines, you know, because she's playing a clerk in a pawn shop. But I think it is somewhat of a pivotal role, which is why someone like her would take the role, you know, because I think the implication there is, you know, she did everything right. She did all the paperwork. So Andrew Cunanan went in, he sold a coin, he tried to get money. He gave his real name, he gave his real address. Now, there's already a nationwide manhunt for a guy named Andrew Cunanan.
And no one knows it.
Sold out all the paperwork at the pawn shop, and the clerk forwards it to the authorities, does everything by the book, and nobody follows up.
Yeah.
You know, so you do have to wonder, you know, what happened there? Why aren't they following up on these leads? Why wasn't this more of a priority? And it does make you wonder whether, had they been more on top of this,
oh right,
you know, or on top
they
of
probably
this,
could've, they probably could have,
would Versace have lived? Would they have apprehended Andrew Cunanan before he had the opportunity, you know, to murder him? So.
Yeah, and there's no doubt. I mean, once again, you can't go back, sadly, and that's the same thing when you look at people like John Lennon. It's the same thing. I mean, once again, we have a picture of John Lennon giving Mark David Chapman an autograph 4 hours before he killed him. I mean, that's just crazy. You know, I mean, you couldn't even write that, if, you know, in a story that people would think that's just doesn't even make sense. But, the killing of Johnny Versace, it's on every Wednesday on the FX network. It is produced by Ryan Murphy, who has done American Horror Story and Feud and obviously The People versus O.J. Simpson. He is certainly the one of the key impresarios in today's television. And, I'm digging this show, and I'm glad that you are, too. So I'm trying to hopefully.
Yeah, I think this is another home run for Ryan Murphy. Really do, because I think he's making a story, an old story, relevant. three that we all thought we knew and were familiar with, but it's also very visually stunning as well.
Yeah,
so
well,
it'll be interesting to see. I mean, there's certainly a lot left in the season, but it'll be interesting to see how the rest of it, how they handle the rest of the storytelling.
Well, thank you so much, Emily. It's once again always fun, always interesting, always informative, and we will talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks, Tim.
Take care. And that wraps up another episode, number 90 of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic, right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, new episode posted. If Jasmine, Minnie Cooper, Jazzy, Ethel remembers to do it, she usually does. I had to actually send her an email this week and say, where is it? You know what's funny? The music's going to run down, but I don't care. Get on the mic room real quick. I was going to send you an email, and before I already had it written out.
Right.
Like, have you posted the, and just before I hit send, I said, let me go on the website one more time to make sure that it's not up there.
See, Jim, you doubt me.
And
all the time.
When I went,
you doubt me.
It was on there.
Yep.
And I didn't send the email.
See?
So there you go.
Look at that.
It was 2 ticks to noon, though, so... It's kind of late. Anyway, I am Jim Toronto. I'll do the ending of the thing even without the music. Do you have the music handy? Let me try it again. All right, there we go. So this has been Jim Toronto here at WGNplus.com. I am here on business. I'm only here for fun. I hope you had a good time. I certainly did. Every Monday, new episode. Don't forget, this is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, the only podcast from the end of the web to your screen.